What do you do if those are your children under those circumstances? And the people in whose name it's being done simply view it as a natural and irrelevant aspect of business as usual, guaranteeing stability in a region that is absolutely vital for the maintenance at a fairly low cost of what they take to be a divine entitlement to what they refer to as a quality of life, unexcelled. And we're back to cappuccinos and better cell phones and BMWs and 26-year-olds buying loft apartments in Soho's for $1.5 million and immediately having them gutted to spend $2 million to have them refurbished to a state of opulence that they find to be naturally befitting to their exalted selves while children starve. That's the trade-off. What do you do? Well, it occurred to me maybe that's what happened on 911. That's what you do. And that's probably what anybody would do placed in that position. It occurred to me that might be the case. Or it might be the case that someone was a little irritated about Palestinian kids getting shot in the head for throwing rocks during the Intifada. Now, of course, the United States would not be directly involved in that, except that every round fired from an Israeli rifle is provided by the taxpayers of the United States. Most of the munitions and quite a lot of the hardware and all of the political support and the immunization from refusal to adhere to the requirements of international law. That's all owing to the United States. That's all done in the name of the public of the United States, and the public of the United States' response to that being done is to vote for the people doing it over and over and over again. Oh yeah, I forgot. We do have choices. Quick poll of the room. How many of you voted Republican last time? Now let's see it for Demopublicans. Yeah. John Kerry. Now there's an alternative. I mean, I was with that lying son of a bitch in VVAW, and he sold us out clear back then, and that's an alternative? Yeah, I'll take George Bush, actually. I mean, at least he was a draft dodger. At least he did good dope. There's a whole lot of that old boy's youth he doesn't remember at all. Such was the quality of drugs that his daddy's oil profits could purchase for him. John Kerry, whose alternative was, I can do the same thing Bush is doing, but I can do it better and more efficiently than him, so vote for me. Yeah, vote for me. I'll set you free. Uh-huh. Tweedledee, Tweedledum. So it occurred to me, Palestinians probably were sending some ghosts along. See, there were those 500,000 Iraqi children. Well, actually, the UN report said 565,000 by that point. Now, note, when the Food for Oil program began, whatever corruption was involved, that mortality rate went down dramatically. Whatever that thug that headed the Baathist Party may have done, he didn't starve his own children to death. The onus of that's right here. And there are about 500,000 adults that might have joined that queue on those aircraft as well. So add them to the list of chickens. And then add the Palestinians, all of them, over the last two generations, dispersed from, displaced from their homeland, complements of U.S. taxpayers, and cooped up in refugee camps when they're not being attacked wholesale, living that life generation in, generation out, with no end in sight. There might be a little irritation there. There might be a little holdover irritation from some Panamanians whose country was invaded lock, stock, and barrel. Regime change imposed in the name of the United States serving a drug warrant on the nominal head of state. There were a couple slit trenches full of bodies that were not supposed to have been accumulated as casualties, according to the Pentagon, during the fighting, were found afterwards. They're still living with that. Maybe they're irritated. Maybe they're irritated in some other places in Central America from oh, that funny little Contra war that was waged down there illegally. Illegally even under U.S. law by the Reagan administration piling up corpses. And remember the famous white paper about El Salvador while they were funding death squads and perpetrating wholesale massacres? Yeah. There might even be some Mayans who have come up here a little disgruntled by the fact that you had a duly elected democratic government in a place called Guatemala that was overthrown by the CIA in 1954 with the result that about 230,000 Mayan Indians have ended up getting slaughtered since in order to pave the way for the opening up of their traditional homelands to make industrial parks for the greater glory of U.S. corporate profit. And the whole thing was undertaken back in 54 to guarantee the stability of the use of Guatemalan farmland for the profitability of United Fruit. And then there's something about the overthrow and of a duly elected government in Iran, compliments of Kermit Roosevelt, and there's a whole bunch of people that end up dead in Iran as a result of that, compliments of U.S. taxpayers once again in the operations of SAVAK to prevent them from having the government of their choice. But perhaps we've gone too far, because in between those two points, I was just talking about the Contra War in Nicaragua and the stuff that was happening in 1953 in Iran and 1954 in Guatemala. You had about 3.2 million, and that's according to Defense Secretary McNamara in his memoirs, that about 3.2 million Indo-Chinese in order to prevent those folks from electing Ho Chi Minh, which the Eisenhower government had a political study that said if we actually hold the election, we committed, that we are committed to honor, according to the Geneva Accords. In that country, Ho Chi Minh is the only possible winner. He would be elected. You can't allow them to elect somebody that we don't like, and therefore, in order to keep them free, you understand? Yeah, well, I was involved in that one, and that was the one I'm going to spend the rest of my life living down, I would suppose. I got some karma to pay there, too, using that term again. But maybe there's a few people my age who are on the receiving end of that exercise in free world dynamics, who have not quite gotten over what it was that was done to their country and still being done, because a lot of the stuff, cluster bombs and so forth, are still detonating and taking children's feet off and farmers' feet off in the rice paddies over there, and you've still got buried defoliants that are being brought to the surface, which are both carcinogenic, mutagenic, and all manner of other ecocidal environmental devastation that has effects on flora, fauna, including the human population. And this is 35 years after the fact. They're still paying the cost and the consequences. The United States did not even pay the reparations, paltry as they were, that they agreed to in order to be able to achieve what Richard Nixon called peace with honor. Thought maybe it had something to do with a 500,000 to 1 million Indonesians that while Vietnam was going on, ended up getting slaughtered in order to take Sukarno out and put Suharto in. Suharto, the guy who just left Indonesia a couple, 3 years ago with about $20 billion of his impoverished people's aid money in his back pocket and is being protected by the United States. Still? And then that places the onus of East Timor and the slaughter of a third of the population there to maintain the stability of the Suharto regime in its late phases. Maybe those ghosts were involved. Then we could go back to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but we should stop in Korea along the way and pay heed and homage to Nogun Ri and the other massacres that were perpetrated by U.S. forces there in order to maintain a partition line in somebody else's country in the name of freedom. Once again, the United States cutting somebody's country in half and saying, people don't agree with us, I have to stay north, and we're going to have the free world in the south, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, we'll kill you. Which they did. But Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 200,000 odd people incinerated in targets that had not been hit. Those cities were selected because they were relatively undamaged and overwhelmingly civilian in their utilization. Okay, these were a demonstration to Joe Stalin by Harry Truman, prefiguring George Bush's 1991 statement. This one's in 1945. Joe, we got weapons that you can't match in the post-war world, so you got to get the message. What we say goes. It wasn't about ending the war. They've been trying to end the war for 6 months. That had to do with the post-war order. 200,000 people were the form of the message sent. What's that great term? that was invented on the 11th of September, 2001. You didn't find it in dictionary until then. Innocent American, that's all one word. Innocent American, if you're American by definition, you're innocent. Well, here's some samples of American innocence coming at you here. Because these are not evil demons lurking in the high quarters of empire, the back rooms of corporate America. This is getting done by your average on-the-ground American from Illinois like me. Nothing special and nothing innocent. Innocence and America are a contradiction in terms, oxymoronic. But they fused the two. You couldn't say American without innocent for 6 months after 9-1-1. And these were the least innocent of the lot. I'll come back to that too. Because of nuclear bombings, oh yeah, we're in Iraq now because they were really worried that there was WMD, which wasn't there. Worried about WMD in the country with the largest stockpiles of every known type of WMD in violation of every conceivable treaty. They're destroying the chemical weapons we never had now. Down at Skull Valley, largest inventories on the planet. Could have killed an entire continental population with stuff the United States insisted it didn't have, and they're worried about what it was that the Baathists in Iraq might have made, given equipment and techniques by the United States to use as a counter against the Iranians at a certain point when Saddam was our friend. That was when he gassed the Kurds, you know. Nobody said a word about it when he did it. And he couldn't have done it without U.S. technical expertise and the provision of proscribed materials. That's reasonably well documented. Do an Amazon search on that very thing, a couple keywords, okay? You'll get the documents. They're U.S. documents. Of course, CIA must have been wrong with it, but in their reports for the 1980s, because they became very inconvenient in the 1990s. And you know, after all, how incompetent they are. You want to hang your entire security hat on them. But the nuclear bombings, and those nuclear bombings represent the only time any country has ever used nuclear weapons against another country. You're in it. It's not some evil empire out there. This is the one that's used the weapons of mass destruction on civilian targets. But that wasn't the worst of it. No, for 2 years before that, Curtis LeMay's technicians have been out in the Utah and Nevada desert building simulations of Japanese neighborhoods, wood and paper cities inhabited by civilians, and they were testing various types of incendiaries under various atmospheric conditions in order to figure out where they would get the best burn patterns to take out massive sections of populated areas. And that's the Tokyo fire raid, for example. 120,000 people cremated in one night. And this was not a military installation. And when the British were doing that to the Germans, which they did, the United States objected vociferously, refused to participate, did daylight bombing with the 8th Air Force. But you want to talk about innocent civilian targets, you ask the Germans what the 8th Air Force did to them. When the Germans were acting aggressive, expanding, establishing a new world order and announcing to everyone in sight what we say goes, and slaughtering massive numbers of people in order to put themselves in the station that they had announced for themselves they were entitled to, above, that's what Übermensch means, everyone else. And I don't hear too many good Americans with red, white, and blue banners standing out there condemning the 8th Air Force for being terrorists and obliterating German cities, daylight bombing or not. And I certainly don't hear them talking about what was done to the Japanese in over 100 cities in LeMay's fire raids of 1944 and 45. I have no idea how many people died as a result of that. The people who were the planners actually stated for the record they wanted to kill every single Japanese. And yes, I'm aware of Pearl Harbor and the 2,500 sailors or whatever it was. And yes, I'm aware of Nanking, neither of which excuse what I'm talking about here in any way at all. And we can roll it back. We can jump a little bit. We can jump to the turn of the century, to the last of the Indian Wars, which was not fought against Indians in the United States. It was against people that were called the Indians of the Philippines. On the far side of the Pacific, when the United States invaded to liberate those islands from the Spanish Empire, in order to turn it into its own colony for a forward strategic basing area for the next half century. They kill 600,000 to 1.5 million, what they pejoratively referred to as Moros. Hell Roarin' Jake Smith, general in charge who had made his bones in the actual Indian Wars over here, proudly announced that he'd turned the most populous province in the island of Luzon, which was the most populous island of the entire Philippines, into what he referred to as a howling wilderness, that there were no people left in it at all. He had placed a bounty on the heads of every male over 10 years of age. That was the policy they don't teach you about in American history class, whether it's at a university level here or in your high school or your grade school. And if it's your grade school, you were too young to know. So they just don't talk about it, or they pretend the opposite of what it was that happened happened. The opposite of everything in American history is true. That's the way they'll teach it to you. Yeah, probably kids are too young. When you're 6 and 7 years old, you shouldn't have to be exposed to this kind of vile stuff that I'm talking about tonight. But I got to ask a question. I got to return to education every once in a while in the course of every time I talk. Why is it, do you think, children are always too young to hear the truth, but never too young to be lied to systematically, conscientiously?